Well, good morning, everybody. Brent Abel here, WebTennis.net. And this morning, we are very fortunate to have one of my good friends and colleagues, and none other than, I'm happy to call him my coach, Michael Wayman. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Brent. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Very, very well. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Good. Well, listen, I want to give you a little bit of a proper introduction. Michael is currently the men's head coach at St. Mary's College, a Division I school here in Moraga, California, Northern California. Michael, how long have you been coaching at St. Mary's?
14 years now.
14 years. I'm assuming that you're probably one of the longer tenured coaches in that in that Division I.
I think so. There are a few other chaps around that area, I think. But, yes, I can't believe that it's been that long at this stage. But
congratulations. You guys.
Thanks very much.
Right. Well, Michael, you were born in Dulwich, England, 1953. You got your tennis started by your dad. And I know that you also worked with Lou Hode in Spain. I'm assuming that's when you were a teenager at some point.
Right. I was just 17, just going on 18, just as I went down there. I just finished what you would call high school.
And, right. Okay. Yeah. And then you played at USC for 4 years as an
All-American? No, actually, I was there just for three. I graduated a year early, yes. So I just
Smarty Britches, is that right?
No, not really.
Okay. Anyway. And then after USC, Michael, you went out on the tour, the Men's Pro Tour in 1975 to 1983. Your main years were, you know, during those first five or six years, had some great wins. Was that Sandy May or Jeannie May or both?
It was Gene May. Gene at the time was doing extremely well. I mean, he's really high up in the rankings. I think he was as high as five at the time, five or six.
Well, that's,
so that was a reason. Yeah, so it was a good upset win for me at that stage, I think.
Well, and not only, you know, Jeannie May, but Guillermo Vilas and Eli Nastasi, those are all names that we know. That must
right.
And those must have been incredible wins. And you had a win over McEnroe, both John McEnroe and Stan Smith in doubles.
Yes, that's correct, yes. That's correct, yeah.
And then I also know you played 1 year World Team Tennis 1978 for the Golden Gators here in here in Oakland. You partnered up doubles with Frew McMillan, who I'm sure at the time was probably the number one doubles player in the world.
Yeah, yes, he was. Yes, he was. I think he and he played with basically most of his time he played with Bob Hewitt, and they won Wimbledon that year. So team tennis went through Wimbledon that year. I didn't have the opportunity to play with Frew at Wimbledon, of course, but I did get to play with him most of the time in team tennis. Great experience for me.
That must have been an incredible
fantastic
experience.
So he was one at the time. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to talk to you today about a couple of specific aspects of the mental part of tennis. And you know, you and I have been working together for the last, I'd say, year or so, year plus. Mm-hmm. And you know, not only have you helped me tremendously with my stroke mechanics, getting me back to the basic fundamentals of the strokes, but I think the mental part, you've really given me, an organized plan, an organized way to go out there in the court and compete to my highest, level for that day. And, I got three questions I want to ask you, and they're all related.
Right.
And the first one is, I get lots of questions about players who, in practice matches, they really can play well. Yet when they go out to play a match that, quote-unquote counts, where it's going to be recorded somewhere, either a league match or a tournament match, they just don't play to that same level as they do in the practice. So, what's the problem? What's the solution? And, what are your tips for practicing that solution?
I think the first thing is, I think it's the extrinsic pressure of playing a match. So what are the major differences? I think the main problem with players, as soon as they get into what they consider a match situation, they're more concerned with what the result is going to be right off the bat. So that in itself can affect your mechanics, can affect your whole modus operandus on the tennis court. So in terms of how you perform, I think one of the main, this happens to everybody. I mean, at to a greater or lesser extent at one time or another when they're playing. I think there are two things that you have to think about in dealing with this situation. Why is it that the match counts? That's the first thing. When you're in practice, what is it that you're focusing on in your practice that enables you to feel that you are playing up to your potential or playing well? What is the feeling like? Right. That's the first thing. Number two, when you get into the tennis match, why is it that the one that counts, why don't you have that same feeling that you have when you're in practice? So the easiest answer for most people would be, well, why don't you treat your regular match like a practice match? Well, right. if you're going to do that, then it's going to take extremely good discipline in terms of your concentration to maintain that same sense, it's the same sense of relaxation of when you're playing. So my first thought would be, number one, forget about that it is a major match. Forget that it's something which really counts. Just the fact that you make it count is adding an extra pressure. Playing a tennis match in itself has already got enough built-in pressures anyway. So frankly, if that's overcoming you completely, then you need to simply take a step back. I say, well, okay, what is it that I'm doing in my practice that's enabling me to play this practice tennis match well, up to my, you know, what I think I can do? And how can I recreate that same feeling when I'm playing my regular match?
Sure.
You can actually take your practice match that you're playing really well in and try to recreate the sensations that you have in your regular matches where you're having issues. And seeing how you can
Well, I'm sorry, excuse me for interrupting, but, you say, what are the sensations? And mm-hmm. I've got to believe if we could measure it, and I'm not sure that we can, but if there was a way to sort of look into someone's brain on the practice court between mm-hmm. points.
Well, true, yes.
And I got to believe that what these players are doing between points on the practice court is different from what they're doing in the league or tournament match.
Well, true, and I think we've talked about this a lot. It's the time management between your points, I think, is the most important thing. The issue is usually when you're in a practice match, I don't think that there are the same senses of tension. So, for example, you've got a friend watching on the tennis court next to you, and you're having sort of conversations with him in between the match, maybe, right. In between points. Not that you would do that in a regular match, but that maybe there are some other forms of either distraction or you're taking more time. I think what happens with a lot of players is that if you measured the time that it took them to get ready to receive serve and or serve first serve and second serve, when they're in high tension and pressure situations, they tend to really start rushing too much, you see. So I think that having a routine, which is basically something which you can devise, whether it's playing with your strings going and toweling off, having a single point on a court somewhere, on a net post or a fence at the back, something to get your mind focused on that one point so that you're not allowing all of the extrinsic things to bother you. In other words, whether it's a 30-40 point, whether if I win this, get this return in, I've got a chance of breaking here, or all those things which will tend to come into people's brains when they're a little less confident, if you understand my point.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I think the way you describe that is when we get in the league or tournament match, I mean, we start thinking about all these consequences and mm-hmm. and things that we probably don't do during a practice match.
Exactly.
Because they're just like you said in the beginning, it's not going to be recorded. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And I think that just kind of knocks the edge off of that stress that we might put on ourselves in a league or tournament match. So I guess what you're saying then is to, number one, recognize the fact that you are more relaxed in that practice match situation, and number two, what's probably happening, like you said, is you're taking more time. You are not really considering the outcome or the consequences, and I would think that, you know, there's got to be a way, and maybe you've got a good tip for us, Michael, but, you know, how do you practice that that sort of feeling, or how do you practice that mindset that you're talking about between points?
Well, yeah, I mean, how many times do you think, Brent, that, well, we chat about it, but I mean, how many times do you think that players generally congratulate themselves on hitting a good shot?
Well,
I'm trying to put it. Yeah, I'm trying to put it in your court a little bit here, because I think one of the main things that happens in tennis matches is it's really interesting, because even at St Mary's we have public that play out there quite a bit, very good level players, and it's interesting to see how once players get into these league matches, when they're out there having a Saturday morning practice, it's all fun, and actually the level of the tennis is better.
Right.
Then I see when, for the most part, then I see when they come out and they play against a team from another club or whatever. And I think that the a good thought process is that when I'm practicing, maybe I'm going for my shot. So it's not that I'm overthinking about it, but if something is there, I might just take a good swing at it, and I'm staying relaxed and hitting the ball. How do you recreate that sort of sensation? I think that's the most important thing. And I think that, personally, one of the things that really, I feel, helps some players is you can either have there's that sense of relaxation when you hit the tennis ball. So how are you achieving that sort of sensation? I think that that's the main thing. And that's something you need to practice when you're practicing your practice match.
Sure.
So when I'm practicing, or if you're practicing and you're playing that practice set, and you're working on something specific in the set, say for example, you're working on a drive forehand approach, for argument's sake. When you hit that good shot, you're saying, okay, that is exactly the sensation that I want there. What does it feel like? And then you have that sensation of trying to do that again. Not overanalyze it, but more or less get that sensation of, well, how am I doing? Breathing out as I'm hitting the shot. I'm not tightening up the jaws, all that type of thing. But am I really allowing myself to stroke ball, and also congratulate myself on hitting that ball?
Sure.
What most players do is that they will overanalyze what they're not doing, and when you get into a tennis match, that tends to be exaggerated a lot.
Right.
So in other words, you're not keeping your mind focused on what you need to do in order to complete a shot and feel good about completing that shot. So for example, if I miss it, but I've had that same sensation, I'm not going to be worrying about it at all. Doesn't matter what the situation is.
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of trying to identify what that feeling is, what the sensation is. And I don't recall exactly what day or what year it happened, but I just remember this one match I was having, and my opponent hit a big, huge, flat first serve, and I could see from the moment it left his racket, it was going to be about a foot deep.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, on the return, I just kind of, you know, I just got relaxed knowing that whatever I did here with the swing didn't matter.
Right.
Because the serve was going to be out. And I just hit it perfect.
Right, exactly.
And then the next ball was a little dinky second serve that, you know, I get totally locked up on. I can't even get the ball back in play. So that was really kind of the thing. That was the feedback for me, Michael, when I first, you know, started to realize exactly what you're talking about, is that there is a sensation when you hit the ball just perfectly that you can recreate in match situations, in big point
right
situations, and for me it was that return to serve off that guy's first serve that was going deep, and I knew it, and what I knew, everything's fine.
Well, yes, I think also, and I think that from the point of view of really being aware of that, so that, you know, there are so many things, there are things that you can do to alleviate that pressure within points. So say, for example, you're playing against somebody that you've never beaten before, you know, and they've beaten you, say, three times.
Right.
You've had good matches, but you've never really quite come over it. So all of a sudden, you find yourself in a situation where you're up 5-4, and you've got the other person serving, and it's 30-40 all of a sudden. Well, what's the thought process? Well, really, there shouldn't be a lot. What you have to concentrate on is your routine And then what you're doing is you're basically just responding to the ball off the opponent's strings. And all you're doing is reacting to that ball. So that you're managing to do what you would naturally do in that situation, and you just block out the fact that it's a 30-40 point. You just allow yourself to do that.
Okay.
But you can do that. Where you need to do that is on the practice court when you're practicing.
I think you're absolutely right. I think one thing that we don't do during practice matches is be more aware of those shots or those moments where we know we've just done exactly what we want to do, and go back and take, 5, 10, 15 seconds and evaluate and try to identify with that feeling and think about recreating what that felt like.
Exactly. But I don't think people... But players, for the most part, do that enough. They're just playing and they're having a good time. But I think it certainly would happen in the practice court. You know, they have this thing. You have those other players who are horrible practicers, but excellent match players.
Thank you very much.
You know, they go the other way around, you see,
right,
where the practices, they're awful. But as soon as you put them into a little bit more of a stress situation, all of a sudden they tend to concentrate better. So if they've got concentration issues, things like that, then the match tends to help sharpen them up, if you understand my point. So,
well, that's exactly where I'm at. I mean, I just, for whatever reason, the last 10 years in practice matches, I mean, I've struggled with it for so long, and I fought it for a while trying to sort of recreate the tournament match feeling.
Right.
I just can't get there.
Right.
And so for me, the practice matches have been more about, well, this is really a fitness opportunity, try to get a little fitter. But, just as you described, once I get in the league or tournament match, I mean, the picture just comes really sharply into focus.
Right.
And that's, I think, because I do go into that between points routine that we've talked about.
I think everybody, some people talk about things like superstitions. It's not so much superstitions. A lot of players have habits or certain things that they want to do or do automatically, it's little things which help them sharpen their focus when they play.
Right.
So whether it's if you're at a 30-40 point receiving, maybe you have a habit of walking to a singles line, the side singles line, and tapping your racket on the singles line, say,
before you
get ready into your ready position, something of that nature. You could have been a Vitas Gerulaitis who would walk around the outside edge of the tennis court without touching a line. There are little routines which are habitual, which get you into the moment, but also get you thinking in the right way, if you understand my point. Yeah.
Well, those are all good suggestions, good feedback, Michael, on that issue. Let's go to question number two. And that is, and actually these next two questions are closely related but slightly different. And I get tons of emails from people who are playing a league or tournament match against an equal or lesser rated player. So this player on paper is not better than they are. And they win the first set, they get up a break in the second, and something happens where they just cannot, close the door on that match against their opponent, who on paper really is no better than they are, and
right,
at times might even be, rated a little bit lower.
Right.
Again, what's the problem? How do we fix it? And or I should say, what's the solution, and how do we practice that?
Well, probably playing players who are not as good as you are, or you say at the same level, or certain type of player. I think usually a lot of the nightmare type players are those who just make an awful lot of tennis balls. Their strokes may not be brilliant, but they're sort of like steady eddies.
Right.
Really, when you play players like that, you're playing yourself. You're not really playing them, because they're really basically putting you into a situation. Once again, you're talking about you're up and you can't close it out. You see, I really have problems with it when you are trying to finish off a tennis match, I think you're still going, jumping ahead. You're going ahead too much in terms of what your thought process is. In other words, the thought process that I've got to close this player out, I can beat this player, I should be beating this player.
Right.
I find that those are really distracting thoughts.
Absolutely.
You see, so I think that the fact that I am saying I should be doing this, I should be doing that, I need to do, you know, I should be, I think what those types of questions that are rising primarily is that you've got to have a little bit more idea about how you stay in the present.
Yeah.
So how you stay in, all right, so I'm up, oh my gosh, I did the same thing at Wimbledon against, oh my gosh, years ago. You know, I'm up a break against Mark Edmondson. He was the Australian Open champion, and I'd beaten him in the past. And here I am, I'm a break up in the fifth set. And my thought process was, okay, all I've got to do here is hold serve. Big mistake, huge mistake to think that. Because what you want to be concentrating on is just what you have been doing to get into that position where you're up in the first place.
So as soon as you go into that thinking of, you know, I just got to hold serve,
horrible.
Really what you're telling yourself is,
absolutely horrible.
If I hold serve, I maintain my break and the score
yeah.
is now going
yeah.
to be.
Yes, I know. Well, you've already looked ahead, haven't you? And this is what's
right.
happening here in this situation,
right.
is you've looked ahead to what should be happening or what you want to happen. And so as a result, you have something which is influencing your ability to play right off the bat.
So really the problem, I think, stated in simple terms, is that we get ahead of ourselves in
mm-hmm.
terms of looking out in the future of what the score might be in a positive way
yeah.
or the score might be in a negative way,
yeah.
And not staying in the moment, which I think gets back to what we're talking about with this between points routine.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So you're saying the solution then, Michael, is really to find a way to stay in the present.
Right.
And, you know, have you got any tips for how to practice doing that?
Yeah, I think I've worked with some students on, but I think one of the issues, and I don't know how many people really focused on this, very, very basic, is following the ball off your opponent's strings, yes? Now, we've talked
right.
about it.
Right.
Where you're reacting as well as you can, as soon as the ball is struck, and you're following it so closely, and all you're basically doing then is, you know, keeping your eye on the ball to hit it. But it's that initial arrangement where, if you're trying to clear your mind, we did it, you know, I did it the other day with some students, some younger students, where we had them internally counting this 1-2-3 routine, where a player hits the ball. As they hit the ball, in your mind you go one, and as the ball's in at the bounce, you've already worked your feet and shoulder turn, all that stuff, into get into position on the ball, and you say two, and then as you strike the ball you go three.
So one is when your opponent makes contact,
when they make contact with the ball.
Right.
So we're talking about baseline shots here right now.
Right.
If there's somebody up at the net hitting a volley, you just go 1-2, you know, you don't
right.
you don't really have the time to do it as a volleyer. But I think that when you're at the baseline, it's a very, very good way to really stop your feet from locking up and stop you from having, you know, having that sort of horrible tense feeling. And all you're basically then going to be doing is doing what you do in your practice and what you do when you're striking the ball. And I think it's a very, this is just one very, very simple technique that I would say would help quite a lot of players who find themselves allowing all these extra thoughts to get into their brain, if you understand, about
sure.
where they are in the match and what they should be doing and all those sort of tension things which can interfere with your locomotion and with your technique. And I think if you can just train yourself to do that just for a couple of minutes a day when you hit, you know, just if I'm just 1-2-3, okay, 1-2-3, eventually it's almost like you don't think about it anymore, and it automatically gets you honed in to just doing what you can do practically with the tennis ball, if you understand my point. Yeah.
Well, then I think that's really a good tip, and I think it's great to practice that, and you're right. I mean, there are some specific things I think we need to all practice each and every time we go out in the court. And I think this is a good one. When we talked about this the other day, my first thought was I need to get a little video on this. But basically what you're describing is that you say the word one exactly at the time that your opponent makes contact with their
right.
ground stroke.
Right.
You say the word two to yourself exactly at the time when that opponent shot bounces on your side of the court.
Exactly.
And you say three
when you strike
specifically
it.
Specifically at that time when
right.
you make contact with
Absolutely.
your ground stroke going back. So,
right.
Well, let's move on to question number three. And it's closely related to what we're just talking about, but it's a little different situation where
mm-hmm.
now you're in a league or a tournament match against a higher rated player. And, you know, this may
yeah.
be someone that, you know, not only is rated higher than you are, but that you've either, you know, never played before, or you have played and you've never beaten, or,
right.
you know, maybe you've played this player seven or eight times and won once on some, you know, fluky
right.
day.
Right.
And yet, in this match, you've now come out, you've won the first set, and you know that,
right.
you know, this is sort of the start of a quote-unquote upset.
Yep.
And from there on out, it just goes downhill, and you cannot close out that match. What's the problem?
Okay.
What's our solution? And, you know, have you got a tip on how to practice that solution
yeah.
against the higher rated player?
Yeah, I think one of the okay, the problem is that if you're playing somebody who's got a reputation, you know, or they're a better player, supposed to be a better player, higher ranked, all that type of stuff. Once again, you have an extrinsic pressure that is on you, like we talked about earlier. And the problem is that players, when you play against somebody, it's like when I walked on the court with a Laver, or you walk on with a McEnroe, or somebody who's a higher level player than you are. Or a Borg. It's like I had the same situation when I played Bjorn Borg. I played him at Memphis indoors, and I was up 4-1 in both sets. And the thought process then is, oh my gosh, I'm playing the number one player in the world. I've got a chance here to close this out. This is all I have to do.
Right.
And as soon as you say that, you then start to try to overplay and do something a little differently than you've already been doing. So right away.
So you're, again, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think what you're talking about is you don't want to be in this moment.
I think in some respects you don't. You know, it's almost like, you know, here's a major opportunity for you. You know, whoever it is you're playing, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this would be fantastic to be able to do this. This is what I've sort of lived for, or one of those types of things.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, once again, you're taking yourself out of the moment. You're not doing what you've been doing in order to get to that point. Maybe that player has not been playing that well. So, well, my thought process has been, let's say one of the scariest times is when you're up, you've won, or you're up in the first set and you're up 5-love. And you're just waiting for the person to get started, if you
right.
understand my point.
Get much better.
You understand my point.
Down,
and, then,
yeah.
and all of a sudden, you get through the first set, say 6-1 or something.
Right.
And then, you know, you're still thinking, you know, it's only going to be a matter of time.
Right.
So my thought on it is that you've gone to that point doing what you are doing. And unless something majorly changes, in terms of how your opponent's starting to play, your main thought process is to keep doing what you've just done. You're not going to get to that situation hitting winners all over the place. You're going to be
right.
getting to that situation by forcing your opponent to make errors or staying in the points longer. So it becomes a matter of attrition, really. It becomes a matter of whether how well can you concentrate to stay within each point and still feel that you're maintaining the pressure on the opponent. A very, very simple thing, Brian, and it sort of also applies to what you talked about earlier, is your opponent can't hit your ball until you do.
Right.
You know? And I think a lot of people are sort of like start to end up rushing shots like there's no tomorrow because they sort of panic that here's a golden opportunity for me. And I think that what needs to be done is really what we talked about in the first instance, is going into a routine, staying within the moment, doing what you can do for yourself, the best that you can do. So in other words, you know, I can make these shots, I can do this, this is the best I can do, take my time with it. Unless my opponent starts really knocking me off the court, I'm just going to keep staying with what I've been doing the whole time. So I think with a lot of people, what ends up happening is they get to a point where they start jumping ahead again. They start thinking of the score again, thinking about what the ramifications are going to be, all this type of stuff. And that affects, it affects, once again, it affects all your locomotion, affects your technical stuff, movement, everything.
But you really helped me this year in April, National 60 Hardcourt Finals, when I played Hugh Thompson, because a few weeks leading up to that tournament, we had spent some time on the court with a simple approach shot. And, the one thing that you recognized and you brought out to me is that, as I'm going through that shot, I'm not really in the moment of taking my time and executing that particular approach shot the way I want to. I'm really thinking a nanosecond or two ahead in terms of where you're going to be in the court. What's the result of, are you going to be able to get over there and load up on a passing shot? So I'm not really in the moment of that approach shot. And, the approach shot is really a relatively easy shot. It's not like I'm being forced. And after I won that match against Hugh Thompson, or I should say during that match, there were many times when I had those approach shot opportunities where, I got to tell you, all I could think about was those times where you and I were on the court, and I told myself leading up to that shot, slow it down, take your time, don't rush through it.
Right.
I mean, I was conscious of this during the match. And, I've been asked a number of times after that match, after winning the Nationals, people say, God, you must have played just out of your mind. And I said, you know what? I didn't really play at a super high level. What I did do is I just didn't miss. I didn't rush through those, quote-unquote, relatively easy shots.
Right. I think you're right, Brian, because I know we'd worked on that, but I feel you're absolutely right, because when you get into a situation where you're playing somebody that, has this reputation, on something like an approach shot or an easy volley, or maybe even an easy pass where you have a lot of opening, there's always a tendency to try to get the ball over there a little bit more quickly than you need to.
That's right.
And I think the issue is, the old adage of keeping your eye on the tennis ball. Yes, okay, but it's more or less, well, I'm in control of this particular shot. I have the time to hit the ball. I need to concentrate on what I'm doing right now. And I don't need to worry so much about the opponent, about what they're going to do with the ball or whether they're going to be in position on the ball. Because you have to just complete your shot and get yourself set up for the next ball. So I think that a lot of, probably you're absolutely right in the sense that a lot of players who, when they're playing somebody who's better, tend to, in those situations, tend to want to try to overplay and try and rush the shot, if you understand. Try and do a little more than they need to do.
Okay, so what you're saying then is that the solution is to make sure that you're conscious about taking time to execute this shot, number one.
Right.
And then number two, the way you practice it, and I'm assuming what you're thinking is you've got to sort of set up in your mind, all right, for the next 5 minutes, every ball that comes to me is against so-and-so. And, for me, there's a couple of guys out there who, I might rush because my perception is they're much better than I am.
Right.
And on paper, they are. Well, it's the same for everybody. It doesn't matter what skill level you're at.
Oh, no, exactly.
Or relative.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, it is. No, exactly.
Maybe what you're saying then, Michael, is have some practice sessions where you visualize, well, you're playing against that player who you think is better, and you really work on taking all the time you need to be able to execute whatever shot that is.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's important that you do it. And you don't have to do it for hours.
Right.
you understand the point. It doesn't have to be beaten to death.
Right.
I think it's one of those things that you can just hone in on and say, okay, this is where I'm at with it. What's the feeling I'm trying to recreate? Okay, there I go. Take the shot. Boom. Do it again. a few times, take a break from it, then right. come back to it again.
Right, right.
So that you're right. constantly reinforcing it, but not all at one whack, where you're just, I'm just going to go for this, and you know, because that in itself is almost a little bit self-defeating. You want right. to work hard at it, but I think you want to space it out a little bit.
Right.
So that you can keep it very fresh, if you understand my point.
Right,
yeah?
right. Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, this has been incredibly helpful. I really appreciate your time this morning.
A pleasure,
Michael. Yeah. And you know, on a side note, I'm going to tell you and the world, I mean, and I do, that you have done wonders for my game. You know, in a couple areas. Number one, really making sure that I stay true to the fundamentals. You know, not letting me kind of drift away from that stuff. And as you know, Mr. Stowe used to always tell me, "Oh, that sure looked artificial." So. You've really helped me with that. Specifically, you've really helped me with my forehand, with my ground stroke, with that forehand passing shot, and so many other little parts of my game. So I really appreciate everything
well,
you've
no,
done.
Well, no, it's been a lot of fun, Brent. I really enjoy it. It's been, it's been a blast. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's great. It's great to keep working on it, and you know, it's always marvelous because you're always dealing with something. Something a little more challenging all the time, so that's where the fun of it is, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Listen, I really appreciate your time this morning. I hope that we'll have a chance to do this again on a different topic soon.
That'll be absolutely great. Well, I certainly hope it was helpful, and thanks very much indeed for all the questions and everything. Yeah.
Have a great day, Michael.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Brent again, webtennis.net, and hope you really enjoyed that interview with the great Michael Wayman, guy who's really helped me so much with my game in the last year or so. And if you haven't already picked up your copy of my lesson on the mental skills required for competitive tennis players, there should be a link right below the audio player on this webpage or the blog if you're there. And just go ahead, click through. You can get some more information on that lesson, which is really going to help you with that between points routine. I've got a very specific 4-part between points routine that has really helped me so much in my tournament competitive play, and I know we'll do the same for you. Any questions, of course, Brent at webtennis.net. Have a great day out there.